I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, here's your host, Tony Caligiuri. Inside High School Sports is brought to you by Minio and Sapio Italian Sausage. Taste the difference quality makes.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside High School Sports. I'm your host, Tony Caligiuri, along with Tom Prince from WNY Athletics. Roger Weiss is here. Kyrie Demos from the Niagara Gazette. And we are joined by Center Court. That means we're talking basketball today. Derek Kramer producing. Good morning, gentlemen. And I use that term loosely.
You called me a name again?
No, I didn't, Raj.
You called me a name. I got three witnesses here.
Well, you probably got more than three witnesses if he called the name.
Called me a gentleman. What did I ever do to deserve
He won't
that?
Stand for it. That's why he's sitting.
Oh, man.
All right, guys. Well, it looks like, snow's kind of calmed down. Supposed to be a little bit of a...
That's not snow. That's humidity.
That's humidity coming down a little bit right now. There was nothing in the falls when I left, when I got to Amherst, a little bit of snow.
There was ice when I left the South Towns. We have ice on the ground.
So we're supposed to get a mix today. Yeah. Snow, some freezing rain. Yeah.
It's supposed to go snow to ice
to
rain back to snow. And because apparently this storm has picked up warm weather along the way. Ooh. And the warm weather is going to change the precipitation as it goes on throughout the day.
I'd rather it just be snow. That's easier to get the snow blower out.
And tomorrow the wind comes in, and that's when it really gets to be fun.
Yeah, but I you know what? This is like one of those weekends. Bury yourself indoors.
Stay indoors. People,
yeah, there's
please.
A couple of college all-star game today. Yeah.
Just hope the wind don't knock the power out so we have to miss the football games tomorrow.
And then the Barrett-Jackson car auction going on. I'll be glued to that as I have been the last several days. I'm such a gearhead. I love the Barrett-Jackson car auction. It's a blast. You see some of these amazing cars go by and the prices that they're getting for. There was a Lexus. And it's not even come out yet. It's a 2021. And they do this thing for charity. And all the proceeds go to the charities that they pick. Mm. And it's a write-off for the person that buys it. Guess how much this car sold for?
$3.
$2 million.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
It is. It's absolutely amazing.
Is that without options or without
options? I think it had air. And was it Jeff Gordon's, one of Jeff Gordon's race cars sold for $250,000? I mean, the price tags on some of these vehicles, absolutely astronomical.
Yeah.
Saw 69 GTO go for $150,000. Oh, I love this stuff. I get into it every year. It's on my bucket list some year to go to Scottsdale and watch the car auction.
You eat your heart out, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't plan on bidding on anything. I just want to watch. It looks like a great time. Everybody's having fun. All right, guys, let's get into our news and notes. I'm going to start off today, if you guys don't mind. Congratulations to Kendall Mariocher. He is a track star at Iroquois. Get this. He received a scholarship offer from the Naval Academy.
Wow. Hats off to him.
That's amazing. Yeah. Great stuff for him.
Gee, and right away you said Mariocher, I thought wrestling.
Yeah, well, you automatically do think wrestling when you mention the name Mariocher, because so many of them went on to stardom at Iroquois. And congratulations to Justin McDougall, Niagara Wheatfield. He tied the program record of 222 wins.
This kid's the real deal. He's got the chance to break it next week against Grand Island, which is going to be a real pivotal duel in the NFL. So, interesting to see. But hats off to Justin. He's put together a great career. And his cousin Willie's at Niagara Falls. You know, two kids in the same family, all-time program wins leaders.
Do you know how much Willie has? How many wins Willie has? Is he ahead or behind?
Man, I believe he's slightly behind, but I don't know the specific number. I'll have to get that back.
See, that's going to be fun at the family get-togethers. Oh, yeah. I have more wins than you do.
Seriously, but
Anthony, was that a segue, by the way? You were talking about cars, and all of a sudden you come up with a guy with three deuces?
Good one, Raj.
Oh, you actually like that one for a change.
Three deuces, GTO.
And a four-speed, and a 489.
I got a chance to actually watch him at the Lancaster Duels. I got a chance to see him. He has a presence about him. Himself. That is just like when he walks around, You know who he is. Yeah. He's that much of a standout even at these meets. Just
give him
like,
a WWE belt. You know, let him walk around.
I mean, and for his weight, you see he's stacked. This kid really.
Oh, he's spending time in the gym.
Differentiate himself out there, and he deserves what he's accomplished. So no doubt about it.
All right, any of you guys, before I get to the G&G Fitness Coach of the Week, news and notes from you gentlemen.
Aiden Shaw, Orchard Park, will be going to St. Bonaventure for golf, is one of the announcements I wanted to make sure that we made out there.
Cool.
I have two things, Anthony. We had a Jerry and the Pacemakers game in Monsignor Martin girls basketball this past week.
Jerry and the Pacemakers?
Yeah,
we're going back to old 50s reference here?
No, fifth, come on.
Early 60s.
Thank you. Son
of Jerry
Mount
Lewis.
Mount Mercy defeated Mount St. Mary's in a girls' basketball game. So, you know.
On the jersey. Wait,
Mount
I can't remember
Mary
the lyrics.
Lost to Mercy.
Okay. Don't sing anymore, please.
All right. The other thing in this one is serious. I'm surprised I didn't do it a week ago. You know, my senior moments become senior hours. I want to give a big shout to parents of two of the players on the Will East boys basketball team, Dr. Jeffrey New and Heidi New, a nurse, as well as Dr. Ray Ogra. They were the people responsible for basically saving Benji Blumen's life at that basketball game.
God bless.
About 3 weeks ago. I had the honor. It was the week that I couldn't be here, but later in the afternoon, I went to the whoever had that classic where Will East was playing two Saturdays ago. Was that at Depew, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And a friend of mine is a grandson who plays at Will East. He was able to introduce me to these people. My goodness, you know, Benji and I go back. Well, let's put it this way, Tony. Benji's a year older than I am, so you can do your dirt jokes and all that about me and
no,
Benji.
No, I can't because...
He recovered. He had a few stents. He's home.
Good.
Benji, get well soon. I'm sure you're listening. And even the doctors had a sense of humor because I told them, you know, I almost went to that game that day. And if I'd have saw Benji laying there, I'd have probably had a heart attack next. Oh. And the one doctor says, you know what? You're lucky because at basketball games, we only do one heart attack at a time. So
well, maybe they would have had an exception.
Well, I hope so. But anyway,
well, I'm going to see Mike. I'm going to see Mike Greenberg in a couple of weeks, and I know he's good friends with Benji, and I'll get another update. Now, people you know, who may not know, but our good friend Dick Gallagher recently underwent surgery trying to remove cancer. It's to my understanding, it was, 6 hours long, and that it went well. Tom, you're still waiting for an update as to whether they got it all, but we just wanted to say and put it out there, Dick, you know, you're in our thoughts and prayers. We're thinking about you all the time, and I can't wait to see you.
Paul Stasiak was one of the referees at the St. Francis St. Joe's game last night, and he just—I didn't get to talk to him directly, but he waved. He said Dick Gallagher and gave me two thumbs up.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I've heard from Dick's son Mike, and he Dick's a very close friend of mine. He's as a lot of people know, and I think the absolute world of Dick, and it's a 6-hour surgery he's had to deal with, and. He, no matter what, we're going to hear that surgery went well because that's who Dick is, and that's the kind of man that he is, and he is going to fight for every tooth and nail, and guess what? He'll be making sure that he's covering the football season this coming year, and he's going to do everything possible to make it right, and he has every one of my thoughts, prayers, and everything that I could possibly do out there to help, but just know that Dick, all of Western New York, as well as outside of Western New York, is behind you in this one.
Absolutely. Such a great man. G&G Coach of the Week, congratulations to our good friend. And to me, this is a no-brainer. Brian Baker, Wilson Girls Basketball, congratulations on your 200th win. If you would like to nominate a coach, go to livefit.com and tell us who the coach is and why you are nominating him.
I actually wanted to talk about one of Coach Baker's players, with Skylar Money-Kaizen. She actually, I don't know if you guys know, she actually just, it was announced she's going to be a part of UB's incoming soccer class for this year. So she's going to be playing
really
soccer in the fall. Yeah. So.
Oh, outstanding.
Yeah, she's a three-sport all-league athlete for Wilson. So she's doing her thing over there.
Show off.
Probably the top female player in Niagara Orleans.
Yeah, most likely.
Arguably.
Yeah, she had 25 last night.
My alma mater.
Yeah.
Oh, I like women.
One thing that's come up, and before we get into talking boys basketball with center court, and it seems like it's taken a life of its own. If you go to our Facebook page, Inside High School Sports, you'll see plenty of back and forths and debates as to what's going on concerning Section 6's decision to kind of change things up, where you're going to now play league play, and it's no longer going according just according to class size. And a lot of people, especially fans of the Buffalo Public Schools, feel that there were racial reasoning for them not being able to play. Some describe it as said that, this is going to save money for travel costs. This is some ADs said this is going to rekindle some old rivalries. But a lot of debate as to why, and it's heated debate. As I said, if you go to our Facebook page, feel free to comment. There's plenty of discussion going on, back and forths. Some say it's ridiculous. Time you brought up, where was the contingency plan? Then Buffalo Public Schools tried to go to ECIC. ECIC denied it. They said no. So now Buffalo Public Schools are stuck without a league, essentially, and they have to find teams to play, is the way it's sorting out. So I'm going to give you guys a minute or two each to give your opinion, and then we're going to get on to basketball. If not, we'll spend the whole hour going on this, and that's not fair to center court. Tom?
I do think that they are also going to petition for the NFL League is one of the things that the Buffalo schools are going to do. So there is a next steps right there. I said on the show last week I didn't understand why they couldn't have a contingency plan where ECIC could take in the Buffalo schools as just a football basis, right, is what I was looking for. And then, unfortunately, the vote comes back in and did not come out the way we wanted it. I personally felt there should have been a contingency plan for the Buffalo schools to come in, especially because of the scenario where they were a part of a Harvard Cup, were a part of a scenario, and it is not the same time as when the Harvard Cup was available. I don't believe...
No, you had 11 teams back then.
Absolutely. You can't just go ahead and do that, and I really believe there is going to be an off balance when you do a, for instance, a Bird Card versus a Bennett. It's just too off as far as the competition that is out there. I really wish there would be a contingency plan or a way to be able to get them in the ECIC-1. Mm-hmm. Do I understand the travel and all that? Yeah, okay, I get that.
Right.
Okay, I really do. But you've got to think about every single school that's out there, and I just don't think that it was fully thought out as far as what the Buffalo schools were going to do. And I understand the four games. They're going to have four games to go after certain competition to be able to do kind of on non-league games is what they're going to be able to do. Mm. But if you've got to play a non-league game against another school where you could lose points or you could possibly help another school get points to get a higher seed, you're not going to take that game. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, no AD is going to go ahead and do that, or no football coach is going to be a part of that. They're not going to do something that they think could hurt them, and that's a problem right there.
Yeah, I don't think it was thought of all the way through. Roger.
Two things. Number one, I'm not buying this travel restrictions and all that. About prior to the 2 years ago, the only travel, quote, discrepancy would have been Class C South, because there's so many more school Class C schools down south than up north. Mm-hmm. Schools like, what, Gowanda and Silver Creek actually had to be part of Class C North.
Right.
That, other than that, as far as Class B and Class A, I don't want to hear it, because last year and possibly the year before, they decided to break up A1 and A2 in by class size rather than geography. Mm-hmm. So actually, Ken West and Ken East were in different classes. West Seneca East and West Seneca West were in different classes. If they'd have kept them by geography, that would have been all right. The other thing I hear this, well, all the other sports are by this system, why can't football? Well, the reason being, in all other sports, those teams, whether you're 20-0 or 0-20, all qualify for the playoffs if they so choose. In football, it doesn't work that way.
No, you still got to have a certain amount of points.
You got to have a certain number of, well, the top teams in each right. division. So, and the way it's set up, you know, you're eliminated from the playoffs in the other sports by a team in your class. In football, you might not play a game against your class all year, depending on how the setup is, and yet you still don't qualify. And to me, that's blatantly wrong.
Kyrie.
You know, having been a former Niagara Frontier League athlete, like, I get, you know, you want to build, keep those old rivalries and, yeah, cut down on travel and things like that. But at the same time, though, too, you know, it's really like you're ostracizing the BPS. And, you know, I feel like the biggest thing is both sides just need to work together, you know. I mean, I know the BPS, they may come off, they may seem like they're coming off as combative, like, geez, like, why are we being put in this position? But if the shoe was on the other foot, you'd feel the same way, you know. They're not with a league, you know. They don't have a league affiliate. So if they were to build their own, yeah, that's great and all. Even still, if they were to do that, that's not like the problems are finished because they still need to finish out their schedule. So I just think both sides really just need to be adults, look at the kids first over anything, and prioritize that, because at the end of the day, this all this fighting back and forth that's going on, that's not going to get anything done. The schedules still need to be submitted by March 1st, and that time's coming closer than we think. I just think that everybody needs to settle down, figure out the fact that, okay, well, if you guys do come up with your own league, let's add this many games from these leagues that you guys can play against comparable teams too. I'm not telling a Burgard to play Orchard Park and Lancaster and Clarence as their non-league schedules, because obviously that's not realistic. But if you know, have a Lakeshore, a Louport, other Class B schools that are, you know, teams that you could play in the playoffs, I don't see why those teams aren't willing to work together to figure something out, because it's going to have to be a year-by-year basis right. every season if the BPS does form their own league and doesn't get into the NFL, doesn't get into the NO.
Center Court?
Well, you know, football slightly out of my wheelhouse, but my opinion would be, you know, there's a lot of feelings coming out about this, and that's fine. Everybody can air their feelings. At the end of the day, it's probably not going to change. So at some point, you got to get to work on a solution for it. Mine, maybe it's unpopular, would be just, hey, you've got five Yale Cup teams. You got Maritime Charter, who wasn't in a league last year. Take those six teams, put them together in a league. I know you're going to say, well, Bennett's a double A and Burgard's a B. That's not fair. Well, Louport's a B and
Niagara Falls is a double A.
They're in the same league now. You know, Maritime's a B, but no one's going to make that an issue because they were a really good B.
Right.
That's really all I would have to say on it, is at some point get to work on a solution, and I think I'm tossing out a decent one. You had the Harvard Cup for all those years, which you were so proud of. There was all different class sizes then. You competed. That's my thoughts.
Just quick, going off your point, last season a Class B Newfane lost to a Class C Wilson in a non-league game. Lower class teams beat higher class teams every season. It's
sure.
Just, I don't want. I just don't want.
Look at your rivalry games. You got the Tonawanda NT rivalry. You got
Every year, Depew
plays Lancaster, and when they beat them, boy, is that's you know, big for them.
And it's not that not that we don't sit here and say that, but if you're going to have a point system that's going to be able to get into the sections, right. there has to be an equitable way for us to be able to do that.
Right.
And that is where that needs to be looked at, to see if that is feasible, because if they are going to get beat on and you're only going to win one game as an upset, it's may not be anywhere near the amount of points that you can get to be able to get into the section and get into a seating.
You know, I disagree. I don't believe that it's racist. I don't believe they're pushing for segregation. I think those are just hot button words that are being thrown out there. I think the sticking point is because when you look at the Buffalo Public Schools, they're drawn from so many different schools. One school, one program might be made up of seven schools. And Tony Treluzio brought up a great point. He said, you know, he said seven, was it? He goes, but I've got a couple of the schools that send nobody, and I'm being penalized by bed numbers.
Right.
So I think that's where the sticking point is, and I think that's maybe what led to the decision more than anything, is that some of the suburban schools don't like the fact that Buffalo Public Schools can draw from so many other schools.
Yeah, I don't want people to assume that it's racial based, because let's face it, programs like Niagara Falls or Cheektowaga might benefit from this move. And, you know, those schools have a per capita in terms of demographic numbers, have a high number of African-American students in their districts. So, you know, I don't want people to just automatically use that as the vehicle, because I feel like there's more than that as a factor.
Yeah, I think people just look for you want to take the easy way. Well, oh, that's it. Throw that label out there. That's the easiest one to come up with. You got to think a little bit more beyond that. All right, that's enough about that. If you want to get in on the discussion, go to our Facebook page, Inside High School Sports. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's all basketball all the time with Center Court. We've got so much to talk about. I want to know who's going to be on your all-boom team this year. I saw the hashtag. The booms are out already. Basketball talk coming up after this on Inside High School Sports. Good one, D. Yes.
Goes on day after day.
I used to play this on KB with Sandy Beach. It brings back memories. The son of Jerry Lewis. Yes, he is.
No, he isn't. Jerry and the Pacemakers is a British group.
So then who am I thinking of?
Jerry Lewis and the Playboys is
That's
what you're
it.
Thinking
okay.
of.
All right, thank you, D. Excellent, excellent. I actually love that song. I love that old stuff. All right, we're talking boys basketball. We have Center Court in the studio. The man that will get us updated to find out who is doing what. Best school in Western New York, would I be wrong if I said Park?
You would be in the neighborhood of being right. You would have...
I know maybe St. Joe's and Canisius might have something to say about
and health
it.
Health Sciences, I'd say those four teams are... They're still trying to settle out who's going to be number one at the end of the year.
Can you think of a deeper starting five than Park's starting five?
No. No, they got the best starting five.
Yeah. And I still say, I'm sorry, Oregon is the best center in Western New York. That kid is a beast.
Apologize for that opinion.
When he is on all cylinders right there, I don't know if somebody can guard him right now.
Yeah, and he's just gotten better each game, he just gets better and better. Looks more mobile, you know, finishing around the rim.
And he's got a couple inches on the next tallest kid in the area. I mean, he's big. He went off to St. Benedict's for a year and played. He was part of the Federation Championship team. He's legit. He's a Division I center playing in Western New York. So,
Chad, how many of the schools outside the area are you familiar with? The reason I'm asking, what are the chances of, say, whoever comes out of Monsignor Martin and Park School as an independent ending up in the Federation?
There's chances. I mean, based on state rankings right now, that certainly looks like a very probable thing if you're just forecasting state rankings. But I think it's also Park's got to get through Albany Academy, which is going to be
really
easier said than done. And then Monsignor Martin, you know, whoever comes out of Class A, they still got to get through the Long Island, and then if they get through that, New York City. There's so much talent in the the Catholic school Class A ranks, mm-hmm. but that also applies to what we have. You know, I would say our top two are Canisius and St. Joe's, and I'd put them among the best in the state. But it's sure, we'd love to see that happen. It's tough to say for sure it's going to happen. They're not that dominant as I've seen them in prior years. They're pretty darn good.
Now, you were teasing us before the show about a matchup or what may be lack of a matchup.
Yeah, so I did a podcast yesterday and started talking about the what felt like was going to be the game of the year, because we had Park no longer in the Monsignor Martin Association this year. They're an independent. And then the Monsignor Martin Association says, we're not playing non-league games against you guys, with the exception of St. Joe's, who wanted to play that one game. And so it's been on the schedule all year. It's probably still on Park's Max Prep schedule right now, game on the 27th against St. Joe's. However, we done found out that game is not going to happen now. And I can actually officially state that game's not going to happen, because I got a message this morning, you know, not long ago, saying it's officially not happening.
Oh, man.
You hate to see that.
So, yeah, that was that's what I spent a good amount of time talking about on the podcast I did yesterday. You can get caught up on that. But we can certainly talk about it for a couple of minutes here.
Sure.
That game had been on the schedule all year, and it actually, we had a Health Sciences East game that was supposed to be played last week. They postponed that game to be part of a doubleheader. So we were going to have a doubleheader, East Health Sciences, followed by Park St. Joe's at the Kessler Center, January 27th, Monday night.
Oh my goodness.
Major games in Buffalo even competing with it.
Right.
And, yeah, then we, you know, what I'm told, Park has said, no, we don't. We can't be in that game. The reason they've cited for it is money, that any games that they're going to play have to be at home now, because they need to generate revenue because of all the expenses they've incurred with all the traveling they've done.
Okay, so it's Park is the one that pulled the plug on the game.
Park pulled the plug on the game, yes. And it was, you know, they cited money. They cited travel reasons. Now, the team has taken a trip to the Bronx, South Carolina, Toronto, back to New York City.
I think for Brooklyn, that last one in that last tournament.
Brooklyn, Rochester. They still have a trip out to Albany.
I should have thought about that before the year, you know, when you start putting these games together, what the costs were going to be.
But as I was saying, when you were saying, you know, the Monsignor Martin teams said, we're not going to play you guys this year. Do you think maybe some bad blood on their end?
Well, it didn't say they wouldn't play. They said they couldn't be part of Monsignor Martin.
Well, exactly. Like, well, no, but I'm saying none of the Monsignor Martin teams even want to schedule them as non-leagues outside of Joe's.
Correct.
So do you feel like some bad blood was behind
bad blood
also
in Western New York high school sports?
Why would they take it out on St. Joe's if St. Joe's is the one team that was willing to play them?
Right. So St. Joe's came out of it with, from what I understand, like going against the norm to take that game. You know what I mean? Like, so I wouldn't want to see that. Now you're saying, like, monetary reasons. If it's $3 to get into a game, that is one of the smallest gyms for people to go watch a game.
Very true.
How much money are you really recouping there would be my question,
Good point.
And then the second one would be, okay, well, if we really want to play this game, why can't we move it to Park?
Well, I guess that's a question for St. Joe's. I think that it was all along slated to be a neutral site game. I don't think the topic ever came up long ago that we need this game at home. That's probably the disconcerting thing for me about the whole thing, is the way it's all gone down. We're less than 2 weeks out, and all of a sudden we're not going to be able to play that game. There's been no discussion leading up to it. You know, if it had been back in November, we got to have this as a home game, because we're looking at all the travel we're going to do, because we've opted to be independent and we're not going to play the other schools. Then that's a conversation to have back then.
Sure.
It's a tough thing to do 2 weeks out, to say, you know what, we don't think we're going to be able to do it because we don't have the funds to do it. And what you got to understand about it is the St. Joe's game was already on the schedule all year. The Albany Academy game was not. That popped up recently. So now they're going to take the trip out to Albany Academy, but they're bailing on the game here in Buffalo. They've since added a game against Middle College that they're going to play at Bennett on, I believe, February 14th. That got added after the St. Joe's. So I would have liked to have had them say, hey, Middle College, we'll play a second time, but you got to play it in our gym again because we need the revenue. Maybe that conversation came up. I don't know. But it's just even to think, if they were going to play at the Kessler Center, You could charge $10 a ticket and split the revenue four ways.
Exactly.
You're going to put 2,000 people in the gym that night, and everyone's going to make their money anyway.
True.
So, I don't know.
That's crazy.
I don't know.
All right, let's get into who's doing, you know, you mentioned who the top teams are, Monsignor Martin and Independent. Let's get into some ECIC action here. Who do you like? Who's doing what?
Oh, ECIC. Well, your ECIC 1 race is a very competitive one at the top of the league. I believe, you know, without standings in front of me, but just off the top of my head, I think Orchard Park and Jamestown both have one loss in the league. And that might be your two teams in first place, but you've got Will North and Lancaster, who just played last night.
Yeah, Will North winning that one.
Right, and then there's West Seneca West and Clarence, who have also been competitive. So that's a really solid race up top in ECIC 2. Amherst right now looks like the team that's going to take that league title, you know, based on the fact that they're undefeated in the league and the team that might be their chief competition being Williamsville East. They have already won by 18 at their place. So,
wow.
You know, there's the rematch, and I'm sure that the Flames are getting to work on how they're going to try to pull even with them and maybe share a league title, you know, if everything else can be equal. But
I love the backcourt there in Amherst.
Yeah, that's a very nice Nick O'Neill and Jalen Stewart. Yeah. Tell you what, I said this once before, but Nick O'Neill, boy, that kid plays hard.
He plays hard.
Love a kid that just plays with his passion.
He, like, is tunnel vision, downhill, I got to get these buckets, you know what I mean? He's a real, real intense kid.
It sounds like your football backfield, the two guys you mentioned.
Honestly, I believe O'Neill played football.
I guarantee you he did. First half of the season, he, rather than his teammate, would have been the Conley Cup nominee.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, let's continue with the
ECIC. Last night in ECIC 3, DePue went and picked up a big road win at Iroquois. You know, Iroquois was probably the team I had marked as the division champ, seeing them maybe in a battle with East Aurora for it. And what's happened is DePue just went picked up another win at Iroquois. Cheektowaga has come on really strong in that league. They might be the team right now. So ECIC 3, another really competitive race. You drop down to ECIC 4. Right now it's looking like the Tonawanda show, and that's pretty cool because Tonawanda isn't always a basketball power, but they've played very well in league this year. Holland's been a good team out there. Cleve Hill is starting to come on, similar to Cheektowaga, you know, maybe a team finding its way as the season progresses. So the whole ECIC, it's very competitive. The ECIC 2 might be the only of the four where you've really kind of got a little top heavy. And even within that, you've got a West Seneca East, a Sweet Home, who they come in and make some noise and make it difficult for you. So ECIC is always competitive and fun.
How about Yale Cup?
Yale Cup, you've got two-time defending champion Middle College and currently undefeated and looking like they're headed toward a third. They just knocked off East in their rematch, so they've swept the series with East. They've already picked up one win on the road at McKinley.
That doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, McKinley is usually not the type of team that you walk through. I mean, they're so tough.
I wouldn't say they walked through them, but they picked up a win at McKinley, which is a big win.
Is McKinley still that smother you with energy and, you know,
organized helter-skelter?
Yeah, organized helter-skelter. Are they still like that?
Absolutely, yeah. That's
wow.
That's McKinley basketball.
They're so tough to play against.
They are. They play hard, you know. Hey, Zaire Dorsey is a master motivator of young men, as I like to say.
Anthony, while we're talking about East High School, we should acknowledge the fact that at Glens Falls at the state semis and finals this year, Starling Bryan is going to be inducted into the New York State Basketball Hall of Fame, along with longtime Section 6 chairman Jim Walker.
Yeah, outstanding.
Yeah, that's cool. Starling Bryant, the most wins in the city of Buffalo, and he definitely deserves that Hall of Fame. And
it does it with defense. That's what's
radical
amazing.
Radical coach. You hold the team to 39. You only have to score 40 to win. How radical can you get?
Out of control.
I mean, his teams are fun to watch, and it's sure fun listening to him when he's on the sidelines, too. He's entertaining, to say the least.
He's been there for so long now. It just... I can't even remember what the East without him.
Anthony, my first
before
show.
Before that, traditional.
My first show as co-host. I'm glad you mentioned traditional. My first show as co-host, Starling Bryant, Lazar Hayward Jr., amongst others, the traditional basketball team. Never forget that.
Yeah, and hanging out with them at Buff State, that was fun.
You know, we were on Yale Cup. We dropped down to Yale Cup 2 real quick, and the team that's coming on strong and looking like they're going to take that league this year is Bennett. Bennett was, they were in a sectional final last year as a Class C team. They're up in Class B this year, and they're doing a great job. They just took the rematch with Olmsted, and it looks like they are in the driver's seat to win that league.
I have to ask, how are my Bulldogs doing?
Your Bulldogs are okay. They're competitive. Yes, but they're not quite where Bennett is right now.
Oh, man. Come on, Burgard. You guys got to pick up the pace. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have Niagara Orleans. We have NFL to talk about. So we'll have all that and more with Center Court. Don't forget, what do we have? Sports Talk Saturday following us. And later on, you have Sabres and Nashville, 8 o'clock tonight, right here on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
WGR Sports Radio 550.
We're back. One last segment of Inside High School Sports, and then Sports Talk Saturday follows us at 11. Center Court getting us up to date as to what is going on in high school basketball. Let's get into Niagara Orleans League and the NFL.
Okay, so the Niagara Orleans League this week, big result. Albion knocks off Newfane, and they stay undefeated in that league. And I think Newfane only has the one league loss to Albion, so that rematch at Newfane coming up in February becomes very important. I would project both of them to win out and get back to that game. And can Albion take the league, or can Newfane pull even, and can they share it?
Wow.
And one thing to note of Newfane, Newfane's been having a real, really good season. They've been playing all season without their best player, too. Deuce Capen's been dealing with a knee injury ever since training camp. So,
is he going to be back, or is he done for the year?
Talking with him, he said he planned on – this was 2 weeks ago. He said he planned on coming back within the next few weeks. So,
At one point, they had hoped to have him in late December. Then it looked like early January, and it keeps kind of getting pushed off. And I'd always err on the side of caution. Don't rush a kid back.
Right.
You know, make sure he's right before you put him back on the court. But it's a great point that Harry made, is that he is a difference maker for him. You're talking about a 6'4", 6'5",
a
lot of length.
A lot of length.
He's smooth with the shot. He makes his free throws, alters everything in the paint. He'd make a big difference for him if he gets healthy.
And he could really help, because if he comes back, he's a guy that you can throw at Deontay Farley, who's the reigning NO Player of the Year. You know, lengthy guy himself. He's got a little thicker build than Deuce does, but even still, you have him back. You know, now Garrett Srock isn't getting his worn down in the post. Now Michael Carmer isn't getting his worn down in the post, too. So,
how about Garrett Srock, a three-sport athlete that really will be one of the top three-sport athletes in Western New York?
Yeah. Like, led Newfane to a division title in football. Best player on the basketball team this year. He's had numerous double-doubles. And, I mean, baseball is the sport he's going to play in college, so we'll see what he does for his senior season. So
another one showing off.
How about Akron? Do you think they'll have a say in what happens here?
Oh, they could. Akron's one of those teams that's played really tough together.
That's what I mean. A team playing up right now, playing real well. Is that a team that could put a mix and give a scare to one of these teams?
Yes. Yes, they're definitely that team. You know, when I say that, when I'm just looking ahead and saying I think it'll be those two, Albion and Newfane, in a rematch to decide the title, you know, that's me just trying to make quick predictions as we're whipping through a show. Absolutely, a team like Akron could have something to say about it. A team like Wilson, too, you know, not the best Wilson team I've seen, but the way they play, they're always in a game, and they could always catch you. You come in and you're not ready for them.
And look at Akron just went out to Wilson and has a big win Thursday night over Wilson.
For sure.
In a very hard-fought, it was a physical time.
That's a grinder.
There you go with the Sterling Bryant stuff again.
It never ends.
It's like a football game, but I'm glad you brought Wilson up. You know, they've been having trouble scoring, but holding Akron to 40, they've been holding teams under 60, under like around 50 all season. So
play great defensive football, play great defense in basketball. I'm not surprised.
Exactly.
Yeah, loved that Wilson football team this year.
Same here.
They were
shout
awesome
out to Coach
watch.
Atlas.
Yeah, big shout out to Coach Atlas. What a great job he's done with that program. Anyway, basketball, NFL. So The big result this week that shook everything up was Kenny snaps a seven-game skid and drops top 10 large school North Tonawanda.
Huge.
Now, North Tonawanda had a narrow loss at home to Niagara Falls, and I think that they were thinking, hey, let's get back to that rematch at Niagara Falls. If we can beat them, we could share the league title with them in the large school ranks of the NFL. And then Ken West comes out of nowhere and clips them. I shouldn't say they come out of nowhere. They were on a seven-game losing streak, but some really close results and playing well within that, and then they finally kind of broke through and got that signature win over North Tonawanda, so that's really cool.
And that loss was definitely that much tougher and much more amplified because NT was coming off the loss to LuPort Tuesday night, and obviously when you go in to visit a guy like Roddy Gale,
he's just got 1,000 point scorer. And
yeah, in his sixth game as a sophomore, no big deal.
Yeah.
So those results really set up Niagara Falls.
Right.
They looks like they're going to cruise through the league at this point. The big competition is.
Are you surprised
LuPort
with Niagara Falls? I mean, change of coach, losing so much talent.
Jalen Bradbury.
Yep, he left. Willie Lightfoot left, but it's just open doors for Taylor Sanders.
I'm not surprised. No, I think Brent Gatiss does a great job with him too.
Oh, he's obviously doing a great job.
He's been a part of that program for a long time. I think some of the work he's done for that program over the years maybe hasn't been publicized or noticed as much, but he's a hardworking guy and he's done a very good job with that team. And
has he been around as long as when Bazzani was coaching?
Oh yeah, even before. He was the guy doing the scouting for the dream team.
Yeah. You know, it's about time we do give him credit.
Continuity.
He's been around for got to be what 20
Certainly.
Years,
right. 20 plus years, right. Definitely. Yeah, he's a hard nosed guy, and they've really taken on his You know when they say a team reflects the personality of their coach,
right?
You can really see that in these guys. They've taken their time to really develop that, but they're getting to that point. And like I watched them.
They can smother teams.
Yes, like I watched them against CSAT last week.
Who was it that they held to 20-something points? Was it CSAT?
It was CSAT.
29, I think. Yeah.
29.
Am I seeing a misprint?
No.
And it wasn't like CSAT was taking awful shots or anything like that. Niagara Falls was just all
they smother you with defense.
Yeah.
They get on you, they force turnovers, and run.
And run.
And yep. We would be remiss to not mention the season that Jamon Turner's having at Falls. Really, like he was the number four guard on that team last year, and Willie leaves, Jalen leaves, Josiah Harris leaves, and there's Mookie hanging in there, and boy, has he stepped up his game and been awesome for that team.
I witnessed this kid. You're wearing an O'Hara shirt right now.
It was given to me.
I witnessed this kid outscore.
I accept any shirts from any schools.
I witnessed him outscore Cardinal O'Hara single-handedly this season. He's had 39 points in their second game of the season. O'Hara had 38.
The number four guard from a year ago.
From a year ago. He's doing his thing. Mookie's doing his thing.
It is going to be fun to see them get back into the AA and join now what we've seen from Will North, what we've seen from Lancaster, what we've seen from Orchard Park and Jamestown. That's going to be fun when they all come together.
Right, and at the end of the day, it looks like it still has to go through Niagara Falls.
You know, totally, and if you expected anything less, right. Absolutely. But I think that you'll at least see some teams that will be ready to play that game.
Who's going to play at Buff State this year?
Oh, real quick before I jump on Buff State, I want to give CSAT a plug when we're talking NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Their only league loss this year is to Niagara Falls. They're playing extremely well. Now, they won a game at LuPort without Roddy Gale in the game, but throw that out.
Take wins when
right.
you can.
Take wins when they can. They've been doing a great job. They deserve a plug in there.
For sure.
Absolutely.
For
the NFL. Who's going to Buff State? What in the season preview, I always drop my predictions as to who's going in. So without that in front of me, I can tell you like right now off the top of my head teams that I think would go. In AA, I would take Falls, Jamestown, Orchard Park, and Will North. That's what I think is waiting for us, and that's a nice little bracket there.
Sure.
I like the point guard over at Will North. I forget his name, but I actually
David Bass?
Yes, I believe so. Yep.
Chad was at Jamestown game at I believe the DePew tournament. Was that a hiccup for them? They just didn't seem that impressive that night. Drake couldn't, the coach's son.
Trey Drake
seemed to have a very off game and all that. Was that the non Jamestown team we saw that we're used to?
I think Jamestown starts five underclassmen, and when you do that, you're going to be up and down, up and down. So I think they're fine in their way, but that's the same team that rolled with Health Sciences, too. they're a pretty good team.
We have less than a minute. Let's go back to who's going to be at Buff State.
Oh, who's going to be at Buff State? An A1, I would think maybe like North Tonawanda, mm-hmm. McKinley, Williamsville East, mm-hmm. Kenmore West.
Okay.
You know, those all look like teams that could be there. In Class A2, that's like my favorite bracket of all time. You got Newport, Health Sciences, Amherst, South Park.
Loaded.
Just loaded. East High. I mean, there's five teams that got to try to fight for four spots.
What a surprise. He thinks McKinley's going to Buff State, Anthony.
All right. Bees.
Hey, let me wrap this up by throwing out one news and note. Bob North from Westfield picked up his 400th win this week. 400th. And that's
I wish I'd have known that.
There's
he would have beaten out
coaches.
Doug Ryan.
Right, maybe for next week. But and his team is ranked 14th in the state in Class C. They're 11-0 this season.
They
props to Bob North and the Westfield
Wolverines.
We were
at that Panama game a
for
week
sure.
ago. Yeah. Very well, impressive.
Center Court, we will have you back, obviously. Sorry that we had to take up so much time in the first segment going over a big story going on in football. It is an important issue, and it had
all
to
right.
be
everybody
discussed.
Go to the Martin Luther King Classic. Let's go watch some basketball. Yes, five games
go.
Over at City Honors. In a big game, Canisius Falls today.
Yes, sir.
I love it. All
right,
guys.
Right? Yes.
Take care. We'll talk to you next week with more Inside High School Sports.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases. We'll follow it all, case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.